We served overseas majority of our life as missionaries for about 6 years in the Dominican Republic, and then took a year break and then went to northern Spain to work among the Basque people. Were there for 6 years, came back for about 10 to help our kids through high school and college, returned to the Basque country. We've been there a little over 20 years, but we retired 4 years ago, moved to Ohio 3 years ago. And the reason for coming this direction, we were in Fort Wayne, and the former pastor of Crossroads came at Boyers and said, "What are you going to do with retirements?" And we said, "We have no idea. It's the first time we've been retired. Don't have a clue." He said, "Well, why don't you come to Wasean?" And honestly, I told him, "Why would we come to Wasean?" And he said, "Well, actually, what we've learned is that in Wasean, as well as in Fulton County, 15 to approaching 20% of the people that live there speak Spanish. And we've decided if that's the composition of the community and the county, it ought to be the composition of our church. So we're going to start a Hispanic ministry. We don't expect you to lead it, but obviously you speak Spanish, and you could be a real encouragement to the people that come. You could be an encouragement to the leadership that we have for this. Would you be willing to come?" And honestly, we were very, very excited about that, because after having lived overseas and with a lot of different people, a lot of different countries, to come back to North America and be white, middle-class church, just we were a little nervous about that. So to come where there's that kind of variety was a good thing. I don't know Eli well. I do know him. At Crossroads on Monday morning, they have what I call the preacher's hour. From 9:30 to 10:30, they work on a sermon 1 month out, and that's a part of their preparation. So I go to that time just to try to get to meet the staff and the people there, and Eli comes to that as well. I actually know Ashley better, because she was a missionary. By the time we got involved the second time in Spain, she was back in Pine Hills as their missions director. So when we would think about coming back home to North American assignment, call Ashley and others and say, "You know, is there a time when we can come to your church?" And she was always willing to work with us. And I honestly didn't realize that she was married to Eli until a few weeks ago when they asked us if we'd come and share here. So it's good to make those connections. You're probably not going to be surprised, but since I'm a missionary or former missionary, we are, I want to give you a missions message. And you have a part of that message in your bulletin, but you don't have it all. And the reason for that is, normally when we talk about as Christians, we talk about the Great Commission, and you know where that is. That's in Matthew, the end of the book. You may know the exact verses, you may not. But in Scripture, there's actually five commissions. And we're going to see there's a reason for that. If Jesus had given that all at once, it would have been a real problem for the disciples to even just comprehend what he was trying to say. So he gave that to them over a period of about 40 days. And in your case, the bad news is I'm going to give it to you all at once. But the good news is I don't expect you to really comprehend it until you get home and think about it and see how these commissions fit together, because they're sequential. One idea leads to the other, leads to the other, leads to the other. So if you'll let me, I'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at the five commissions. Dear God, we come before you this morning grateful. Grateful for all that's happened here already. Sunday school class, different activities, the worship, the prayer. I thank you for this group of people. I thank you for their faith in you and their desire to reach others here where they live. And I ask that as we share this morning together, that you would help them understand the five commissions and how they fit together and what it means for us as believers in Christ as we try to share our faith with other people. Help us to understand, help us to embrace what you shared with your disciples and what you share now with us. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So in the New Testament, you're going to have five commissions, and you're probably not going to be too surprised. How many gospels are there? Four, right? So at the end of each gospel, there's going to be a commission of some kind. And in the very first chapter of Acts, we're going to have the last commission. But as I told you earlier, the idea is commissions were given in a chronological order. Jesus gave them little by little to the disciples so they could grasp what he was trying to say. And this material is not new to me. I've got a book back here somewhere. Basically, this message comes from this book. It's entitled Commissioned by Marvin Newell. What Jesus Wants You to Know as You Go is the way he's a subtitle for it. And all he does in his book, if I turn to this page, you don't see it well, but he actually has a chart, the text of the commissions, who he was speaking to, what he said. And the neat thing about it, the last column here, emphasis, you can actually summarize each of the commissions with one word. And in English, they all begin with an M. So if you can think about where these texts are, more or less, you can remember five words that begin with M. You'll have the gist of the five commissions, and that's the beauty of this book. First commission that we'll look at is the end of John's gospel. Again, it was the commission that came first. The very day that Jesus rose, first time he spoke to the disciples was in John chapter 20. And it's not a surprise, the main message he tries to give the disciples. If you remember that day, as the Bible records it, the disciples are locked in a room. They've got the door shut. They've got the window shut. They're scared to death. They've crucified Jesus. They feel they're probably next in line, so they're afraid. And when Jesus comes to them, he says in John chapter 20, the end of verse 19, "Peace be with you." And you would understand why he would say that. They were scared to death. They thought they may be the next ones to be killed. So he says, "Peace be with you." And then in verse 21, he tells them that again. "Peace be with you." And then here's the commission. "As the Father has sent me, I also am sending you." So what do you hear in that? In that commission, the idea is that our model in missions is Jesus. Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you." And if you stop and think about it, that's very few words, but what a message. Thinking now the disciples are going to do what Jesus has done the past 3 years. Now the task is theirs. "As the Father has sent me," Jesus says, "I'm sending you." And that was the very first commission. Second commission comes up at the end of Mark's gospel, a week later. As you know, in that first commission, the disciples were gathered, but one disciple was missing. Well, two were missing. Obviously, Judas committed suicide. But Thomas wasn't there either. And in the end of Mark, beginning verse 15, a week later, they meet again. And so Jesus gives them the next step in this commission, and he gives it to us as well. He said to them in verse 15, Mark 16, 15, "Then he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Now just stop and think about that for a minute. Go to all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. Is that a big commission or is that a big commission? That's pre-airplanes and pre-sailing ships and cars, trains. How in the world can you get to all the world to preach the gospel? Don't think he expected us to go then nor today to all the countries. That's just not feasible. And if it was even feasible, we probably don't have that kind of cash flow to do that. But in the case of Mary and I, we met at language school in Costa Rica. So that was one country. We were there. I was there for almost a full year. Then a few years later, we went to the Dominican and served for 6 years. It was her return trip. Her parents were missionaries. Andy and Esther Rupp, that name, they're from this area, so you may know them. She was actually born in the Dominican Republic. She lived there until she was about 8 years old. But we were there as a family for 6 years. Our daughter was 6 weeks old when we went there. Our son Micah was born in the Dominican. So in our family of four, she's born in the Dominican, Micah's born in Dominican, I was born in Louisiana, and my daughter was born in Kansas. So that's kind of how it shakes out. But go to all the world, and then obviously the Basque country, Spain. How, as a believer, can you expect to impact your world for Christ? How can you think, I'm going to work to preach the gospel to every creature? Again, obviously it's not physical, but there are ways that you can be involved. Your church here has different mission projects. And as you're involved in those, whether you go on the trip or not, you are involved. There's all different kinds of ways, but probably the most important way would be simply prayer. Do you realize this morning you can go to any country in the world today in your prayers and pray that Christ would continue to build his kingdom? It's more than doable. It's just a matter of saying, Lord, today I'm going to pray for this nation, that nation. There's resources to help you with that as well. Two books I'll show you. That's actually an atlas of the whole world, A to Z. So that little book, if you take it, if you have a book like that, you can open it up to any country in the world, see what it looks like, get an idea for how many people are there, what are the big cities, and you can pray. And then there are actually books written to allow us to pray for the world. This book is one of my favorites. There's a larger version called Operation World. It's about three times as thick. But in this book, you can go to any country in the world, and you can read about prayer points. You can read about answers to prayer that have happened. You can learn about what's happening in your world. And today, what's happening in the world in missions is just unbelievable. If I ask you today, what's the fastest growing national church in the world, what would you say? Number one on the list here at almost 20% annual growth, country of Iran, the country we're in a war with right now. Country number two at almost 17%, Afghanistan. Not the country you'd expect to be a hotbed for Christianity, but it is. Number three, the Gambia, Cambodia, Greenland, our neighbor to the east a bit there, Algeria, Somalia, Mongolia, Kuwait, Tajikistan, Laos, Mauritania, Sao Tome Principe, Sudan, Suriname, Guinea-Bissau, Senegal, North Korea, Colombia, Andorra. All of those places have annual church growth at 6% or greater, which is a whole lot more than what we have in our country. The Lord is working in ways, and so you have resources, simple as an atlas, or if you can find a book like this, even better, you can look up any country in the world, and you can pray. You can literally, over the course of a couple of months, you could pray for every creature, not by name, but every country by name, and learn what the Lord is doing there. So In this second commission, what's our M word? In John, it was model. Jesus is our model. In Mark, no doubt about it, magnitude. As you think about that, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's a huge commission. Magnitude of the commission is there. How much of the world did God love, according to John 3:16? He loved it all. And for that reason, he wants us to go to all as we're able to and share that good news and help those people come to Christ. So in Mark's gospel, we have the magnitude of the commission, and it is enormous to all the world. Third commission is the one you know best, the end of Matthew's gospel. It's known as normally as the Great Commission, and it is that. And I know it's in your bulletin, and I'm going to ask you to pull out that bulletin and look at it for just a second. This is in King James, and King James is a great version, but we can do it a little bit better. Because in this commission, there's four verb ideas, but only one's a command. And the King James doesn't have it exactly correct. The King James says, "Go ye therefore." In the Greek, it says, "In your going." Going, verbs that end in ing are called a gerund. In your going. A little bit later on, it says, "Baptizing." Another gerund. A little bit further down, "Teaching." So all three of those verbs in the Greek are gerund. In your going, baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching to observe everything. So where's the command? Teach all nations. It's really the word here is disciple. Disciple the nations. That's the commission. That's what we're called to do. And so in this commission, what we have is our method. And our method is simply to disciple other people. Think about the last time you had, and again, I'm not a part of this church, you had a baptism here. How exciting that was to see somebody step forward and put their faith in Christ. As a church, we always celebrate baptisms. What we really need to celebrate is the opportunity week by week by week to work with these people and to mature them in Christ, even as we mature ourselves. That's what discipleship is. Walking with Christ, learning little by little what it means to follow Christ, living to the very best of our ability, and that's a process that goes on all through life. So as you're in this church and you teach a Sunday school class, you are discipling. If you have a family with kids and you're teaching your kids how to walk with Christ or you take them to camp, that's a form of discipling, and that's what we're to be about. Just as this says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always in the world. So we've gone through three of the five commissions. John, what's our word? Model. Jesus is our model. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And Mark, magnitude. Go to all the world, preach the gospel to all creatures. And here in the Great Commission, as we know it normally, disciple the nations, method. The method that we're called to is discipleship. We lack two. We've done every gospel except Luke, so let's go there to the end of Luke's gospel. And here what we're going to find summarized in a very special way, the message that we're taking to people. If you look in Luke's gospel, last chapter, so 24, beginning with verse 46, these are red letter words. All these commissions are red letter if you've got that kind of Bible. Because Jesus has given all these commissions to us little by little. And he says in Luke 24, 46, this is what is written. The Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things. And look, I'm sending you what the Father promised as you stay here in the city until you are empowered from on high. So here we have just a summary of the message, the good news. Messiah would suffer, rise from the dead the third day, repentance and forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. In almost every New Testament book, you'll find these kind of summary statements for what the good news is. And it's good for us as believers to know a few of those. If you want to look real quickly at Hebrews, very short passage, but so expressed so very, very well. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and different ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by a son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. So that's Hebrews' summary statement for the gospel. How many of those statements can you find in other books of the Bible? If you go to book of Philippians, we're not going to turn there. Chapter 2, the Christ hymn. He, being Son of God, did not think that something be grasped, but gave it up. He became a servant, died on a cross. God rose him. Every knee will bow. That's Philippians' summary statement of the gospel. Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. You can find these statements scattered, sprinkled throughout Scripture, but there is a message, and that message is all about Jesus Christ and what he's done in my life and in your life to transform us and make us different people. So that's the fourth commission. The last one, again, I think I've already told you, in the book of Acts, chapter 1. If you were listening as we read through Luke, he actually said, but stay until you receive special gift. What is that special gift? Spirit, no? And if you look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It's like a small little circle, Jerusalem, Judea, Israel, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. That idea that it just goes all over. So my question is, you don't have to know exactly the text, because you can find that, but do you understand the five commissions? The first thing Jesus wanted to tell the disciples, he wants to tell us that he's our model in mission, just like he's our model in everything else. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. In Mark's gospel, the magnitude, go to all the world, preach to every creature about Christ. In Matthew's gospel, the Great Commission, in your going, disciple the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. In Mark's gospel, we have the summary statement of the message. And again, that message is all about Jesus Christ. What he's done in my life, what he's done in your life, what he's done in the life of this church, and what he can do in the life of anybody around here that would choose to hear the good news and accept it. And then the means of the commission, the Holy Spirit. Relying on the Holy Spirit. And on this one, I'll stop just one second, more than a second. Do you understand what it means to appropriate the Holy Spirit? For a long time, I had bits and pieces of that until I discovered a book a few years ago written by Steve Smith entitled Spirit Walk. And if you've never read this book and you've wondered, am I utilizing the Holy Spirit like I should in my life, this book is gold. And basically, he teaches off one word, an acrostic, swap. What does swap mean? Change. If I swap books with my wife, I give her a book of mine, she gives me a book of hers. We swap. In the matter of the Holy Spirit, you're swapping control. You have in control of your life to the Spirit's. And every letter of swap stands for one thing. S in swap stands for surrender. Surrender is something we need to do every day, particularly to the Spirit. I know that you live within me, but I want you to rule in my life. Help me to surrender so that you can have that position of priority in me. W, wait on the Lord. You know what that's all about? Wait on the Lord is simply coming to the Lord with your agenda for the day and saying, this is what I understand I'm to do. What would you have me do? Is there a change I need to make? Waiting on the Lord is allowing Him to speak into your life what He wants you to do with this day, with this week, with this month, with this year. A of swap, avoid sin. Do your best not to sin. And when we do sin, what we do? We confess that sin, and we confess it very, very specifically. And then the P for Smith is pursue the promptings of the Spirit, because what he says is, if any of us will work at surrendering to the Lord, waiting on the Lord, avoiding sin, the Spirit's voice will become more and more clear in our lives, and we can follow those promptings. So just if you can remember the word swap, that's how you appropriate the Spirit in your life. You surrender, you wait on the Lord, you avoid sin, and you pursue the promptings of the Spirit. As I close, I'd like to just leave you with a simple definition of prayer, but one that you may not have heard. It comes from Oswald Chambers' book, My Utmost for Isaias. This is what he says. Prayer is the working of the miracle of redemption in me, which produces the miracle of redemption in others by the power of God through my prayers. That's pretty powerful. That's what prayer can do for each of us. Prayer is the working of the miracle of redemption in me, which produces the miracle of redemption in others by the power of God through my praying. I just want to encourage you this morning as we close. So very, very important. We've all been commissioned. And we don't engage in the commission because we want to, or because we choose to, or because we'd like to, but we've been told to. And these five commissions spell that out. All of us can do that. All of us can look to our model and follow his example and mission. All of us can think about the magnitude. God so loved the world. We need to love the world as well. And through our prayers, we can touch every corner of the world for his kingdom. The method is all about discipling. And I can't very well disciple someone else if I'm not learning how to be a disciple myself. So all of us working to observe everything that Christ teaches us. The message is all about Jesus. How do you share that good news in winsome terms to people around you? That's the message. And then the means of the commission, not in us, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we learn to swap out control of our life in our own hands to his hands, then we're able to begin that commission process. Let's pray. Dear God, I come before you this morning just grateful for the chance to be here, grateful for the opportunity to talk about being commissioned, because we all are. Every person in this room, if you know Jesus Christ, he wants you to share what you know of him with other people. We're all commissioned. Help us to remember that our model in mission is you. As the Father has sent you, now you're sending us. The magnitude is enormous, the whole world, because you love the whole world. And we can touch the whole world, specifically through prayer and other ways of ministry. The method is discipleship, and we need to continue growing in you to be discipled by others so we can in turn disciple other people and do that effectively. The message is all about you, and we can go to almost any book in the New Testament and find a summary statement of what Jesus Christ is all about, what in our lives, and again, what he can be about in the lives of others. And finally, the means of the gospel in Acts, the means of the of mission, the Holy Spirit is who equips us. But for that Holy Spirit to work, we have to swap out who calls the shots in our life. Normally and naturally, it's us. But as we learn to surrender and wait on the Lord, avoid sin and confess it when it does come into our lives, and pursue the promptings of the Spirit as we hear your voice more clearly, we get more specific directions in how we can be missionaries, sharing Christ right where we are, and as you allow us opportunity, places further afield. May we celebrate what you've done in our lives by trying to communicate the same message to the lives of so many people around us, family members, neighbors, workers, students if we're in school, people who still need to know you, people with whom we have a relationship so we can share. Help us to be effective in doing that. In Christ's name, amen.